His love for us as He came with purpose, He came with power. We celebrate who He is and all that He does. Question for you as we begin this morning. Who in here knows when my birthday is? My feelings are hurt. I'm just kidding. Who knows when Jeff's birthday is? Maybe I need to turn in my resignation right now. Who knows when Chuck's is? Who knows when Danny's is? Who knows when Larry's is? Who knows when Jesus is? There's a difference there, isn't there? Now, even though Christmas is not the actual birthday of Jesus, it's a day we set aside to remember His birthday. It's a day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Who He is and all that He has done for us. We set aside this time to think about Jesus Christ. You know, almost everybody in the world knows what Christmas is. Why it's set aside as a very special day. Most people in the world realize. You look at the word Christmas, and the first letters spell the word Christ. This is about Christ. This is about Jesus. This is His birthday. Wars have been known to stop for Christmas. For the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, for the Prince of Peace. There's stories of soldiers on the battlefield, and on Christmas Day, the shooting would stop. They would shoot the day before, they would shoot the day afterwards. But the day of Christmas, the battle would stop. And then the stories go that the soldiers would actually exchange gifts with the enemy on this day. It's a day that we have heard about, we've talked about. Almost everybody in the world knows that this is the day that we celebrate Jesus Christ. And not everybody celebrates Jesus. We understand that. But people understand this is what we have set aside, is a special day to remember Jesus Christ coming to this earth. In today's devotional, David Jeremiah writes this: "The Baptist Press reported about a missionary who saw a collection of nativity sets in an open-air market in a staunchly Buddhist area of Southeast Asia. The region had no knowledge of Christianity. The missionary tracked down the family making the nativities and learned that they had started selling them after a French tourist suggested it. The family had no idea what the nativity scenes meant. They just started making the figures for business based on the tourist description. This missionary had the joy of taking up the various characters of the set one at a time and telling the family the story of the Lord Jesus. Now the whole village is responding. Imagine hearing about Christmas for the first time. Imagining the first learning about the one born King of the Jews. The wonder of the Christmas message is that God revealed Himself and His love to us by becoming a man." As we think about a village that didn't understand and the nativity scene started showing up for someone to make a little money, but provided a great opportunity for a missionary to share the message of Jesus, and people heard for the first time, and Christmas all of a sudden changed. The meaning changed. I wonder today, what does Christmas mean to you? What is Christmas really all about to you? We're talking about the most important birth ever. Ever. I know when I was born. I know when my family members were born. I know the excitement when my children were born. I know the excitement when my grandchildren were born. And a lot of people laugh and talk and look and see, you know, that's special for you. But the thing is, I can't tell you every birthday here. I can't tell you when your children were born, when your grandchildren were born. I try to go to the hospital when we have a new birth. I don't always get to do that, but I try. Chuck tries. We try to get there, and because it's a special time. But there is no more special birth ever than the one we're talking about this morning. No more special time than we talk about than the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's look in Luke chapter 2 this morning as we talk about the birth of Jesus. He says, "Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." We see a name at the beginning there, Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus, he calls for a census to be taken. He's one of the reasons for Mary and Joseph to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem at just the right time, as we talked about in the weeks prior, for Jesus to be born. The prophecy just said Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph were in Nazareth. But they moved to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus. Caesar Augustus had no idea what was going on. Caesar Augustus, very important character, very important person. People listened to him. When he spoke, what he said was important. People knew that they needed to listen. They needed to hear what he had to say. But on this time, on this day, he missed it. He missed what was going on. He missed that God, in the form of a man, was coming to this earth. And this was the day. He missed it. He's busy. He's about business as usual. He's doing the things that he's always done. He's taking care of things that he's always taken care of. Caesar Augustus, very high in position, missed the most important birth in the history of all mankind. Quirinius, governor at this time. We know about what time this was, because we know about the time the census was taken when Quirinius was governor. So we know about the time that Jesus was born. He's governor. He too has an important position. He too has people that listen to him, that follow his orders. When he tells them what to do, they do it. But on this day, he missed it. On this day, he missed it. There is an important event in the history of all mankind that is taking place. He's doing things that he probably thinks are important. He's taking care of business that he probably thinks is important. He probably has a big role in the census and all the things that are happening and all the work that's being done and all the government things that are taking place. But on this day, he missed it. Mary and Joseph traveled about 80 miles. We talked about this. They were traveling. Mary's 9 months pregnant. Not a good time for a woman to be traveling on a donkey. But they travel, and they get to Bethlehem. They're late. All the inns are full. Nobody has room for them. They knock on the door. The innkeepers say, "I'm sorry, we've got no room for you here." Can you see a desperate Joseph? "My wife is about to have a baby. This is going to happen at any moment. We need a room. We need a bed. We need a warm place to stay." And they're sent to the barn. Not a barn like we have today. Most barns today are built very well. This was probably a little cattle cave somewhere, a little cave in the side of a hill that has some things put up in front of it just to kind of shelter from the wind, but not from the elements. The animals are all around, not clean. This is where Jesus is born. The innkeepers had an opportunity to open up their hearts to someone in need. They missed it. They missed it. You know, they could have put up a sign in their inn that said, "Jesus Christ was born here." They missed it. They missed the opportunity to celebrate. They missed the opportunity to worship. They missed the opportunity because they were going about their business. And their business had become more important than anything else. Taking care of things, making a little money, getting an extra dollar. And they missed the most important birth that ever has been. Forever will be the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's pick up in verse 8. "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom He is pleased.'" The angels come and make an announcement. Don't you know if you were an angel, you would have wanted to be one of those angels? These angels come and they make the pronouncement. Jesus is here. Jesus has been born. It's good news. Got great news for you. The angels are making the announcement. There's an excitement in them about what is taking place. They didn't come to kings. You know, you would expect the announcement of the King of Kings to come to royalty first. To come to the kings. Come to those that were ruling. To come to those in the high positions. To come to those who stood out. Maybe someone like Caesar. Maybe someone like Herod. Maybe even someone like Quirinius. But not to the shepherds. The kings weren't the ones that were alerted. They weren't the ones that were told. It came to the prophets. It didn't come to the preachers. It didn't come to the preachers to tell the word. You might expect that. The preachers were the ones to come and share with others what had just taken place. They were the ones that would proclaim what was happening, what was going on, the things that had. He didn't come to the prophets, to the priests. to those leading in the church, in the temple. He didn't come to those people with a message that Jesus is born. Jesus is here. He didn't come to those people who felt themselves to be the most important, the ones most deserving. Did you ever feel that way about things? Well, why didn't they tell me first? Well, why didn't I get the word before they got the word? Why didn't they call me before they called? Have you ever felt that way? We don't like to kind of admit those kind of things, but just about every one of us will go, yeah. There have been times that I have been very frustrated that somebody else got called before me. We get a little prideful sometimes, don't we? Who did the angels come to? They came to the shepherds. To the lowly shepherds. To the lowly, stinking shepherds. And when I use the word stinking, I mean that in a literal way. Stinking shepherds. They smell like sheep. Why do they smell like sheep? Because that's where they work. That's where they spent their time. I remember my granddaddy growing up. And after he'd been with the cows, he smelled like the cows. Because he got in there with them and worked with them and did things with them. They smell like sheep. They stunk. And this is who the angels came to tell. These are the ones that got the first news. The lowly, stinking shepherds that nobody cared about, that were out in the field with their sheep in the middle of the night. This is the one the angels came to bring good news of great joy. Not just for the shepherds, but for everyone. For everyone. The shepherds got the news. Remember what happened when Herod got the news? He became angry. He became frustrated. He became upset. He wanted babies killed. Because he didn't want his throne taken away. He missed it. The shepherds did not miss it. They got it. They understood what was happening here. The angels had appeared. They trembled in fear because the angels had appeared to them. But not to do them harm, but to bring them the greatest news that could be given. Jesus has come. The one that you've heard about for so long. The prophecies have been fulfilled. Jesus has been born. The Messiah is here. Go worship Him. What great news. These shepherds have a job to do just like everybody else. Their job is to watch the sheep. But on this night, the sheep are not that important because the good shepherd has been born. They leave their sheep in the field. They leave them behind. Wouldn't you if some angels came and told you what was going on? They leave them behind and they go to worship Jesus. Let's pick up in verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The shepherds went. They left the sheep. They left the field. They left their job. They came to Jesus. They came. Have you ever come to Jesus? Have you and taking that opportunity to come to Jesus. See, the angel said, we bring you good tidings of great joy for all of you. That includes you. That includes every person in this room. That includes every person in this town, in this county, in this state, in this country, in this world. Jesus came. And the shepherds that night opened up their hearts. And they came to Jesus. And they worshiped. They came and they worshiped. I wonder, have we come to worship today? Have we come to worship Jesus? We come Sunday after Sunday, month after month, week after week, year after year. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of the world that when we get to a time to worship, we're not prepared to worship. We come into the house of God and we're concerned about other people, what other people are thinking, what other people are wearing. We've got stuff going on this time of year. I've got a lunch to get to when I'm done here. And I've got to get to the lunch and get back here in time for church tonight. But I don't want all that to interfere with what's going on at this moment. Did you come to worship? So many times we get caught up in what time it is. We know how the service is supposed to go. We know what time we're supposed to be walking out the door. We know the things that are going to be taking place. We've got lunch to get to and prepare. We got family coming. We're worried about whether the house is clean enough or not, if somebody's going to notice, if we left something laying out. If all these things begin to run through our heads. Have I got the right gift for everybody? Did I get a gift for everybody? Is everybody going to be okay with what they've been getting? We get all these things going on in our heads and we lose track that this is the time set aside to worship Jesus. Maybe this is a good time to say this. It's not about you. But it is all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. This most important birth in the history of all mankind is followed by the most important life here on this earth. Now on history. The life of Jesus Christ. He came, He loved, He served, He gave, He never once sinned, and laid down His life on the cross for you and for me, offering us the greatest gift that could ever be given. And folks, I'm telling you, you can't top it. It doesn't matter how much money you spend in a store, or how big the diamond may be, it doesn't top what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ paid a price for this gift higher than any of us are able to pay. Because every one of us are sinners. But Jesus shed His sinless, holy blood on that cross to provide for us the forgiveness of sin and eternal life that only He can give. And He offers it to everyone. Folks, I can't talk about the birth without talking about the death. But I can't talk about the death without talking about the resurrection. Because He rose from the grave. and victory. And he offers victory to you. He offers victory to you. You may be going through one of the lowest times of your life. But I'm going to tell you, God loves you with the greatest love that could ever be given. And he cares about the situation that you're in. He knows. He cares. And he's at work. He is ministering to your needs. Whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you realize it or not, he is at work. He cares about you. I don't want you to doubt that today. God loves you. It's not only the hard times that can take our focus away. Sometimes the good times take our focus away. Sometimes we seem to be on top of the world, but we've left Jesus out. Everything seems to be going our way. And those are great moments, aren't they? No problems. Nothing's going on bad. Everything seems to be good. Job is good. Wife is good. Children are good. Everything's good. Health is good. Those seem to be the times when we forget about Jesus. You ever notice that? We see it all through the Bible. People have their greatest victories. Take their eyes off of Jesus. Take their eyes off God. Guys, as we come to this time of year, we need to be focused on Jesus. He is alive and He is well. He is at work. Savannah sent me something that one of her friends had written. She was talking about growing up, and her daddy losing his job. And they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. And they got up Christmas morning, and there was absolutely nothing there. And they sat down together, and they began to share about what Jesus had meant for them. Was doing for them. And this young lady said, "That is the most meaningful Christmas I have ever had. It is the most special Christmas I have ever had. Because the focus wasn't on me, it wasn't on you, it wasn't on decorations, it was on Jesus." She said, "Later that year, my dad got a job, and it was a really good job. And in July, we celebrated Christmas. He went out and bought things and gave things," and she said, "That was absolutely not necessary. Because nothing would change what happened on Christmas morning. Life was changed." Yesterday's devotion from David Jeremiah. When Martin Luther helped launch the German Reformation, he emphasized the wonder of the Incarnation. And from that heritage came many old world celebrations that still yield an evocative Christmas. Many of our modern traditions hail from Germany. But when the Nazis took over in the 1930s, they tried to change that. In his book, Hitler's Cross, Erwin Lutzer wrote, "Since Germans had for centuries celebrated Christmas and Easter, Hitler had to reinterpret their meaning. Christmas was turned into a totally pagan festival. Carols and nativity plays were banned from the schools in 1938, and even the name Christmas was changed to Yuletide." Luther points out that the same changes are happening today. In every age, the devil wants to minimize the wonder of Christ, who came into the world to be our Redeemer and our Savior. Folks, we see it today. Even right here in Wilsonville, Alabama, there are those that want that nativity scene that sits over here in the city park moved. Folks, it's a sad thing to think about. But Satan does not enjoy the Christian who truly knows the meaning of Christmas. We live in a world that is slowly but surely turning a cold shoulder to Jesus and doing the same things Hitler did. Putting our minds on other things. There's a lot of glamour, there's a lot of glitz, there's a lot of decorations, there's a lot of light, and all these things are great and wonderful when they're kept in the right perspective. This is about Jesus. God coming to this earth in the form of a man to lay down his life for your sin and for you. What does Christmas mean to you? What is it in your life that keeps you from truly worshiping? Not just when you come into the house of God, but every day. See, every day should be a worship service for us. Our families around us should see that we have the joy of Jesus in our hearts. That doesn't mean we've always got a smile on our face. It doesn't mean the tears don't ever come. But it means that the joy of Jesus is always there. And we know where our hope is. Do our families see the joy of Jesus in us? Do our friends, do our co-workers, the people around us see and know that Jesus Christ is first and foremost in our lives? With our words, with our attitudes, with our actions. What is it that will help you this Christmas celebrate Jesus? There may be those in this room who have never begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, but you know today that you need to know Him. Well, I invite you to come. I'm here at the front, Jeff's in the back, Danny's over here, mine's over here, Marlon's over here. We'd love to sit down with you, talk with you, share with you. From the Word of God, the greatest gift that you could ever receive is Jesus Christ. What He's given to me, He'll give to you. There may be those here today with other decisions on your heart. Maybe you've got people in your heart right now, on your heart, that you know need Jesus today. And you know you've got an opportunity this Christmas to share the message. Folks, I know none of us can save anybody, but Jesus can. You may want to come and pray for that person. You may want to pray for your heart. You may want to pray for wisdom in the things that are going on. Today, I invite you to come. Let's let God have victory today. Father, as we come before You right now, we praise You for the love that You have for us and the opportunity that we have right now to allow You to do something in our lives and in our hearts. As You speak, I pray that You'll listen and respond. Well, I pray that there are those here that come to You today as You extend an invitation that is very real and very much life-changing. God, we come before You today, thanking You for coming to this earth. And today, Father, we acknowledge we are sinners. And we thank You, God, for the gifts that You give. Let Your will be done at this time. In Your name I pray. Amen. We stand together and we say, You come.